is the world famous Phil Hendry show. Listen to this. This is very ethereal, isn't it?
What's that mean?
It means very spiritual, very ethereal, very.
I ain't gonna lie, I'm a little shit.
It means it doesn't make any sense, like most of this garbage. General, you gotta be more open minded about things.
Yeah, sure. That's right, I'll be more open minded about things.
In the club, man.
Where do you want to. What container do you want to throw this in?
Yeah, they
anyway, welcome to the show. Bud, how you doing?
Good. This is Bud Dickman. This is the world famous Phil Hendry show over at El Pacifico in Southern California. This then is Young M.A. And
Sweetie, where the hoes, bro?
What the hell was that?
Hey, yo, kids.
It is. It's spelled O-O-O-U-U-U. I probably got that wrong, too, man. And I know somewhere out there in the mist is Allie, and she's going to, you know, write me a letter or something.
Oh, thank God for Allie, because she generally will write an email to Phil, and she'll say, you butchered this, you butchered that, in terms of pronunciations of different...
It's basically the hip-hop, right?
Yeah, a lot of the new music. Which, by the way, I don't know if anybody cares, but let me just tell you this. I don't go to Facebook, the friend page, if you're a Facebook friend, and I appreciate that, but I don't go there to look at the messages, and here's why. The messenger, Facebook messenger, I don't like that. I don't like it. I don't think it's a very private thing. They require phone numbers. They just require far too much information. So I don't use Facebook messenger, you know.
No, you did, but you have a Facebook friend. You got a Facebook friend.
Yeah.
What do you mean I got a Facebook friend?
Wait, we're talking Facebook. You're leaving me in the dust. I don't know anything about this.
Well, General, you don't have to. Just, Phil, for a moment, I'll get to you in a moment, General.
Well, that's right. You don't have to explain it. What I'm telling you is I don't know anything about it, and I don't want to know.
All right, well, fine. What are you talking about in terms of the messenger?
You got to have Facebook Messenger to use the messages.
Yes.
All right. I don't like that. I don't want to use it.
Well, what is wrong with it?
Yeah, they do require a lot of information, you know.
All right, well, specifically what?
I don't want to get into it, Margaret. That's not the point of what I'm trying to say. What are you looking at now?
Well, you're a little rude, aren't you?
No, that's not what he want to say.
Oh, that's not what he want to say.
Yeah. Talk much?
All right. Now, just hear me out. I'm not using the message feature on my Facebook friend page. I do at our Facebook fan page. We try to get to those, as many of those as we can. Most of that stuff is cleared. I don't mean stuff as in messages, but a lot of things are cleared over there by other people, like our administrator, our web administrator, and people that work on that, the social media. I don't generally look at those unless it's somebody that I know. And
well, look at you, Phil. This is a little off-putting, don't you think?
Why?
Oh, unless it's someone I know. These are people that love you, and they like your fan page.
No, I know that, and I do answer a lot of questions over there. A lot of them I don't get to. I'm just trying to say, for a variety of reasons. But on the Facebook friend page that I'm trying to tell you about right now,
I get to it.
I'm trying to. I'm not answering any messages there, and so if you're messaging me there, like Allie, for instance, who has our email address. You know, I don't answer those messages. Or any of the people that, you know, we talk to regularly here are BSPs. You cats, the best way to talk to me is to check in during our chat, which we're not going to have tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, see, that's just, you ask about the chat, but tomorrow you're going off to the improv, so there won't be a chat for another damn week. That means I get stopped on the street, and I've asked just a number of jackball questions.
Yeah, well, that's part of your job.
Where do you get off telling me my job?
General, if you're on the show, you should be very communicative with the listeners.
Yeah, and how many of them do you talk to?
I don't talk to those people. That's something that...
Well, see, Margaret, you can't tell the general to do it.
Yeah, get a load of you like your stuff doesn't smell. Ripe and fragrant early morning.
You know, General, I think having a mind that you marinate in cat dung every morning and then sticking it back into your skull is not what I call a winning strategy. And that's your strategy.
Aha! So you do admit you don't talk to those people.
It's not important to know who's talking to who. This isn't about you guys. It's about me. And I'm apologizing, telling everybody, and I did put a notice there on Facebook. I said, I don't answer messages here because I can't. That's the bottom line. I can't.
Why can't you?
Because I didn't get it. God.
Get Facebook Messenger. Don't you hear too good?
Yeah, no, Bam. He didn't say that.
You're right. I didn't say it. I did not install Facebook Messenger. And I didn't install it for the reasons aforementioned. Okay?
Afore what? Sorry.
So to talk to me, and I'm not saying it's any great deal talking to me, man, but I mean, if you want, you can always talk to us here at the chat. You can always send us a message at our service address at our website. You can always put a message up on Facebook, the fan page. But somehow, some way, we'll try and get to you. We're going to try and be better at that in the coming year. But there's been so much that's been going on and a lot of changes. By the way, I am told, I haven't checked, but our website is, quote, lightning speed now, because a lot of things have been streamlined over there as the guys get ready to put the new design in.
Yeah, I heard the conversation you had today with Joe. So everything is, and yet you said it was a little bit slower.
Well, we've figured out some things that were slowing the site up. So it's very, very fast now, and we're getting closer and closer. I'd say within 60 days of the launch of our new site and the new design and all of that there stuff there in. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. On the show today, we're going to be talking another As You'd Like to Hear Them, because we promised this.
Yes, we did. We promised an As You'd Like to Hear Them of Kellyanne Conway.
Oh, now this is going to be good.
Yeah, not the lady. She's the manager of Donald Trump, right?
Exactly. And we've got a few questions for Kellyanne Conway, because it seems she's gone rogue. She went rogue on Donald Trump, retired on active duty.
What are you talking about?
You know it. You know full well what I'm saying. She's out there now operating in the bush without any decent constraint.
What is this, Colonel Kurtz all of a sudden?
Well, I mean, Kellyanne Conway, Colonel Kurtz, Kellyanne Conway.
What is she talking about, without any decent restraint?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I would say she's one of the more prominent spokespeople that president-elects or presidential candidates or what have you have one of the more prominent that we've seen in quite some time, in the words of Bill Dance. All right, let's do it, man. Let's get some traffic cranking on this thing. Let's find out what's happening to the highways and byways out there today. Here's Bob Bakian. Bob?
All right, fellas, so today about 5 o'clock this afternoon, but they're going to be a lot earlier for that for you. All right, if you are traveling on the 62 today, or if you're traveling 61, 65, make sure that you've got plenty of time. So they're going to be slowing up at half-assed. They're going to be a half-assed, half-assed out there to about noon o'clock. Now it'll be California Highway Patrol, the CSP, left the Fronton County Sheriff. Also said they're going to have the front, right, that fronting lady up there. Wear that dress, the see-through dress, see-through cotton dress. You don't want to look through it. Let's go to Skyboy.
Hey, Mom, I got the same thing there, because up here on the Foothill Freeway, James Lindsay came down to decide about one roundabout when she comes, where she comes, and both sounds of the banjo on my knees. Go to Boy Sky Baby Swinkin.
I guess I was just a little bit too casual.
She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. It's a new sports cream you put on your elbow, on your joints, on your ears, anywhere where it hurts, anywhere where you think it might hurt. Why is it called She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain When She Comes? This great salve was developed at a time when doctors went door to door, but the doors were about 600 miles apart. Yes, this great salve that you rub on your ears, your eyes, anywhere it hurts, was developed at a time when doctors were many, many miles away. A lot of people would say, when is he going to get his appendectomy? Well, she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Six dead guys later, here comes the doctor.
Oh, you'll be around when we go.
Coming around the mountain when she comes. The new sports salve from Bob Co. Entertainment.
She'll be coming around when we go.
Yes, this salve is especially developed by a guy that I know. Don't worry about it. You're going to love it. It's an analgesic. It's a dude I know. He works out of his... No, he's not a chemist. No, he's not a doctor. There, you happy?
She'll be coming around when we go.
She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Sports salve. New from Bob Co. Entertainment. I like the look of you. The smile of you. I like the smell of you. Rick Santee at the Day Glow Lounge this Saturday night. I like the smell, the look, the feel of you. Rick Santee singing some of your favorites. Most of them you don't like. Oh, she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Yeah. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Rick Santee this weekend at the Day Glow Lounge. And remember, Rick Santee... And remember, Rick Santee features this. You can pick up your food and throw... If you don't like the song he's singing, you can pick your food up and throw it at him. She'll be coming around the... Blah! Lemon meringue pie. Mm-mm. She'll be coming around the mountain. Rick Santee at the Day Glow Lounge this Saturday night. Rick Santee, courtesy of Slut Records.
Oh! Yeah, man, how about that, huh? Who's this?
Young Thug.
Oh, get out of here with this Young Thug, will you?
Young Thug, and isn't it what it's called? With
yeah.
them.
Yeah, that guy, that Young Thug, I don't know who taught that kid how to sing, but
it's your birthday.
Yeah, whoever taught that kid how to sing, someone ought to teach that person how to sing so they can teach that other kid better how to sing.
Yay!
What are you applauding?
Yeah, you shouldn't applaud that. That's stupid.
No, it wasn't stupid. I'm just...
All right. So we have Austin Amarca with us here on the Phil Henry Show. It's got Mr. Amarca. He is at Lone Brow Catfish. And you're at Lone Brow Catfish there in Sylmar, right, Austin?
Yes, that's correct, Mr. Henry. This is a wonderful catfish place. You get a catfish dinner with all the trimmings. And this was where I'm sitting right now, where I'm supposed to pay off a bet. But I wanted to talk with you. I've got six guys. I'm a cabinet maker from North L.A. County, as you know.
Yes, sir.
And I have six guys that work not on my crew, but they are doing jobs alongside mine at a new housing development up there in Permwood. And
all right.
And the bet was basically, I heard you say on your show that there was a cavalry unit out of Alabama that rode with the Union Army. And,
I did.
Yeah, well, now, hold on. You're well known for playing jokes and for want of a better word, I don't mean to say it, but fake news. You do a lot of fake news.
Well, that was Phil at one time.
Oh, no, that was. Don't you do a lot of fake news, Mr. Henry?
Do I do a lot of fake news?
You do a lot of fake news.
Well, what do you mean by fake news?
You're always saying something happened that didn't happen.
I would say that was probably a hallmark of Phil's older show, but not so much this show.
Yeah, but I'm a backstage pass member, so I listen to a lot of old shows.
All right, well, then if you hear a lot of our what we call our classic archives, yeah, we did a lot of that.
Okay, so when you said that there was a Union a cavalry unit out of Alabama, I thought you was kidding. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. You've got to be kidding.
When was this, Austin, if you don't mind me?
Yeah, it was about last month. I heard Mr. Henry said, oh, and there, by the way, there was a cavalry unit, a regiment out of Alabama that rode with the Union Army. And I thought, that rode with the Union Army, it's like a riding with the Hell's Angels or something, you know. He rode with the Union Army. I thought it was a joke, you know. It sounded to me like he's riding off into the moonlight, you know.
What is your question, sir?
I don't have a question, but I want to communicate something to Mr. Henry. I bet a couple of these guys who are cabinet makers at Permwood Estate, one of them is Buster Maddox. I don't know if you know him or not.
No, I do not.
Well, he said that he's come out and seen you at a personal appearance, and the other one's Guy Sline. You know either one of these men?
No, I do not.
You, General?
Why would I know those guys?
I don't know. They said that they'd seen you guys at personal appearance.
Well, if seeing them at personal appearance doesn't mean they know him.
I feel it. I met you at a personal appearance, Mr. Henry. I feel I know you on some level.
All right. Well, I forgive me if I met those gentlemen. The names don't ring a bell.
All right. Well, they're the ones that they said to me, you want to bet. I said, there's a cavalry unit out of North Alabama. And that's how I heard Henry say, he's full of crap. They said, you want to bet? I said, I'll bet you $100 at a catfish lunch because I'm up here at Romeo's Catfish, you know, with all the trimmings.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll bet you catfish lunch with all the trimmings up at Romeo's. And that's where we are right now, because guess what?
You lost the bet.
Yes, I lost the bet. And that's the part. Right now, these guys are up getting their sandwiches.
Are those gentlemen there right now?
Not right now. They're getting their sandwiches up at the counter. I can't eat. My stomach is too woozy.
Well, what is your stomach woozy from, because you lost a $100 bet?
Well, I'm out $300. It's three guys. $300, three catfish... Three catfish dinners with all the trimmings.
Hey, you said catfish lunch.
What did I say?
You said it's a catfish lunch with all the trimming.
With all the trimming?
With the trimmings, man. Didn't you say that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't know what you mean by catfish lunch. We're having a catfish dinner. That's the only thing they feature.
Well, maybe it's lunchtime.
You're right, it is. But they are serving a catfish dinner with all the trimmings.
By the way, can I ask you a question? What are all the trimmings, if you don't mind me asking?
With what?
With the catfish dinner.
All the trimmings are just all of the extras. You get extra coleslaw. You get extra hush puppies. You get extra sourdough bread. A lot of, you know, all the full trimming. And just the trimmings, you know, just when you sit down and you look at it, it looks like a human being put it together and not some animal.
Yeah. Well, you sound like you're in quite the mood here, Mr. Amarca.
Well, I'm a little... put out.
Well, let me explain to you that whenever I said what I said about that unit, it's an Alabama cavalry regiment, right?
Yes, sir. I thought you were kidding because of the fake news. And I told these guys, you know, there's a big problem with fake news. And they said, yeah. And I said, the number one practitioner of fake news is this guy Henry. You fell for it? Jeez. And it turns out you were not lying.
No, I was not lying. And I think the general said it very well. A hallmark of my show in the past, more so than now, was that we did a lot of shtick like that. We don't do that much anymore. We're pretty straight ahead here.
Well, I mean, but your show, you're pretty straight ahead. I listened to your show yesterday. You guys are giggling and laughing and going, hee, hee, ha, ha, here comes, come on over here. I'm talking to Phil Henry right now.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, sir, what is your name?
My name's Wynn, and I want to thank you for setting this man straight. He's a very dear friend of mine. When you said that Alabama Cavalry Regiment existed, and I told him it does exist, it is real. It's as real as you or me. And he looked at me, and he had pain in his eyes.
Don't make a big thing out of
it. No, I'm not going to make a big thing. But he looked at me with pain in his eyes. He said, there is no a way. And I said, there's a way. There's a way. Yeah. I'm eating my coleslaw.
I guess that's all, Phil.
Oh, sorry. Goodbye, Phil.
All right, so you're paying for...
I'm paying for 3 catfish dinners, all the trimmings, and $100 each. That's $300 plus the catfish dinners. 4125 goes into 3. That's another $100. That's $400. And,
But what are you bothering Phil about it for?
Oh, I can't hang up, can I?
No, you cannot hang up. Now, I wouldn't put it the way the general just put it, but what's the problem?
I can't believe that there was a cavalry unit from Alabama that fought with the Union Army. That's impossible.
That's not impossible. It's part of history. Are you from the South?
I'm from Texas.
Is that the South?
I think so. What an idiot. Yeah.
Yes, bud. Texas was part of the Confederacy at the time. It was one of the states that seceded. I'm sorry that occurred. It is a very real fact.
Let me have that. Yeah, let's win again. I tried to tell him, and I tried and tried to tell him, Phil, that there were a variety of units fighting for the Union Army during the Civil War that were Southern in origin.
Yes, there were. But not as many, not as big a unit as that Alabama.
That was the largest, yes, that was the largest of the Southern regiments fighting for the Union Army. I tried to tell him, but he wouldn't listen. He wanted to just go out on his own. You know, just wanted to go out and believe. I'm tired of this conversation.
You done?
Yeah.
He just dropped the phone, you know.
Well, is he still talking to me?
You still talking?
No, I don't care.
He that's something the wind does. He gets bored, and he just puts the phone down.
Well, hold on. I do want to say one.
What do you want?
I want to say one. Phil, this is Wynn. I'm sorry.
Yeah?
I wanted to say one, but now I'm bored.
Don't give him the phone anymore.
All right, I won't.
I want
to. No, Mr. Henry said no.
Please.
No.
Oh, please.
No, man. All right, here. Mr. Henry, I think.
Thank you very much for that ass jacket.
What happened there?
I guess you guys, you give up on listening, don't you?
Yeah, after a while, it's just, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, after a while, Phil, it's not worth our problem. You know, it's just not worth, you know, going through the trouble of listening to your show to try to make sense out of some of these ass bites.
Man, Mr. Henry, this Southern unit that fought for the Civil War out of Alabama, I mean, how'd they, you know, survive?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, how come then the Southerners want to probably lynch him or something?
Why would they want to lynch him?
Because they're fighting for the other side, man.
Well, now, that's a great question, and I don't know the answer to that. I do know that their commanding officer was a guy by the name of George Spencer. The name of the unit was the, and he was a politician. He was a senator from the state of Alabama who remained loyal to the Union during the Civil War. And he raised this regiment of Alabama Cavalry, the first Alabama Cavalry Regiment.
Yeah, well, now I was looking at some of this while you were talking. The first Alabama Cavalry Regiment was, they had 2,068 men. And it was the largest white regiment in the Union, in the South, of the Union Army.
What?
In other words, there were more white men fighting for the Union in... Never mind.
Yeah, all right, well, we can read up on it, folks. First Alabama Cavalry Regiment. And there were really a couple thousand, almost I would say 2,100 soldiers that fought for the Union, fought for the United States in this Alabama regiment. 482 of them were killed. 13 died of disease. Captured or missing, interesting statistic. How many do you think were captured or missing?
I don't know, about half of the rest?
Zero.
What?
Zero. None were captured. None went missing out of this entire regiment. They lost a total of eight officers and 554 enlisted men to either disease, to death, or to being wounded. So there you go.
Well, that, I think that kind of history is very important, but I don't think you should waste a lot of time with a fumbling clown.
Yeah, he's fumbling with the cat.
There, they're right there, the catfish dinner and all the fixins. If I heard that one more time, I was going to scream. I was going to scream and dive through a window.
Good God.
That's right, that's right. Read that and weep. I was going to scream, dive through a window, do a perfect roll, get to my feet, and keep running and never stop. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay. Very lovely, Margaret. Thank you. We're going to be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show with As You Like to Hear Them. It's Kellyanne Conway. She's the manager of the Trump campaign. She's going to join us here. Yeah, we are doing kind of a short show here today because we do have our big show coming up tonight at the Hollywood Improv in Hollywood, California. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Yeah. Yes, General Galen Shaw here. And let me tell you, tonight at the Hollywood Improv Lab, it's going to be Phil Henry introducing his friends Henry Phillips, Nick Rutherford, Amber Preston, Fahim Anwar, Shang Wang, Valerie Gregson, and the great Fraser Smith. And you know, Fraser Smith, longtime friend of the Phil Henry Show, and Phil has been on Fraser's radio show over there on KLOS as well. So don't miss tonight. This is the last of the year at the Hollywood Improv Lab. Tickets available online. Just go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and click on the banner link. You can go to twitter.com/realphilhenry and find the link there, as well as Phil Henry Show. Or you can go to facebook.com/philhenryfans, P-H-A-N-S, because he insists on spelling it like he's got his head parked in his ass.
The Phil Henry Show, Phil Henry and Friends, tonight at the Hollywood Improv Lab in Hollywood.
Really?
Dr. Wilson Johnson has worked with the National Hockey League for the last 30 years developing new rubber teeth. That's right. National Hockey League players are probably the ones that lose their teeth the most of all professional athletes, getting their teeth knocked clean from their skulls so when they grin, they look like Dracula. Well, not anymore, because Dr. Wilson Johnson rubber teeth are in, and they're now, and they're happening. Go to your dentist and demand the new Dr. Wilson Johnson rubber teeth. They're available, and they are free. Free. That's right, I said free. Don't let anyone tell you they cost money, because he stole the rubber to make them, and he's pocketing the profits. Dr. Wilson Johnson rubber teeth, they go right in where your teeth used to be. From Dr. Wilson Johnson, new rubber teeth, absolutely free. There is a surcharge. I won't go into that because then you'll think we're ripping you off. It's substantial, but rubber teeth. Rubber what?
Isn't that funny?
We're gonna party all the time, you and me.
Yeah, General, what are you doing?
I'm dancing again. There you go. Call of Duty. I like this one. Every now and again, Henry plays something that I like.
Well, this is, I like this one as well. Two virgins. It's Buck Wild.
Buck Wild?
Yeah, I just saw that. I don't think I like that title.
Why?
It reminds me of the term of buck naked. I don't, anytime someone puts buck in a word, it is, you're asking for trouble.
Well, I thought it was something serious, Margaret. The fact that these young men...
Well, hold on for just a minute. Buck Wild...
Now, Margaret, come on. You're not going to find fault with...
I'm finding fault with... Think of that. Oh, hi, we're Buck Wild. Well, what can you... All I see in my mind's eye is a young man wearing some kind of an Indian chap, no underwear...
Yeah?
Bending me over the hood of a car.
Oh, God!
Oh, yeah, right. Like, that's such a far-fetched thing.
Ms. Gray, why do you have to bring that up?
Because that's what I fear. Every woman hearing that fears that.
All right. So this guy's name is Buck Wild, and that means he's what?
That means he's wearing a buckskin chap with no underwear. I'm the one that's bent over the hood of a car. And I'll tell you something, Phil.
I wish you wouldn't make jokes like that.
Who's joking?
I'm telling you right now, don't make jokes like that. There's a lot of women fear that kind of thing, you know?
And they should fear being attacked by a man named Buck Wild with a buck... Forget it.
That reminds me of that joke.
Under a buck.
God damn it. Wouldn't even let me get it out.
I've heard that. If you want to get it out, friend, you better step outside.
What's that supposed to mean?
Did you talk about thinking you're going to whip it out?
Boy, you got it. You talk about someone's brain being in the sewer. Every morning when you wake up, you make sure that you put your brain right down in the middle of a bag of banditti.
What?
That's right.
All right, are we all done? Because it's time on the Phil Henry Show for... As You Like to Hear Them. And today on As You Like to Hear Them, the campaign manager and now spokesperson, I think, is probably the best way of putting it. We'll ask her. Kellyanne Conway. Boy, has she been making some news. And I thought it would be time to get her on here, right?
Yeah, well, the young lady, Kellyanne Conway, was working for Ted Cruz. And she goes way back in Republican and conservative politics. Kellyanne, how are you?
I'm great, General.
And thank you for being on the program. Short notice.
It was a little bit, but...
We called Kellyanne right after the Mitt Romney.
Yes, we did, and you agreed to be on, and we really appreciate that.
That's my pleasure.
I think the first question we all want to ask you is obvious. I just mentioned the name Mitt Romney, Kellyanne.
Can I?
Yes, Phil.
I'm sorry. I just want to get a little more background, Kellyanne. I know you very... I'm familiar with you from the Ted Cruz campaign. I saw you on Bill Maher.
Oh, yeah, Bill's a friend.
Yeah, you've been on Bill Maher quite a bit, and going back a lot of years.
Yeah, Bill Maher is a liberal who can tolerate conservatives if, you know, if he perceives them to be, like me, you know, attractive.
You're saying that Bill Maher has you on his program because he thinks you're attractive?
I think so, yeah. I mean, because I don't see him going out of his way to invite any other conservatives on there. And you know, I don't think I'm a raving beauty, but I think to Bill Maher, he probably thinks I'm all of that, man, and an extra large bag of pork rinds. So I think that's why.
So you don't think Bill Maher just likes your mind and...
Yeah, okay, sure. He likes my mind. You know...
Well, you yourself said you're not that much of a raving beauty.
Yeah, I'm not. But to Bill Maher, I don't think I'm all that beautiful. But to Bill Maher, I'm probably, you know...
All right, can we leave this line of questioning and...
Sorry, I just...
And get to the real nitty-gritty here.
Get right down to the nitty-gritty. Sure, go ahead.
Kellyanne, that reminds me of that dance thing we saw the other night. Get right down to the real nitty-gritty. Remember that?
I don't know what...
It was a dance thing on YouTube. Go ahead.
Jesus.
Hey, let me ask you.
I'll ask the question, thank you. Kellyanne, what's on our minds right now is the fact that Mitt Romney...
What is this nitty-gritty?
It's nothing. It was a YouTube thing that we were passing around between ourselves. So go ahead.
All right.
You want to talk to me or Phil?
I'll talk to you. I'm sorry. You guys are giving me five different questions at once. I'm trying to figure out, you know, where...
All right. Just calm down, Ms. Conway. We'll get to you, all right?
Sure. Fine.
Kellyanne, what I'm asking... Robert, don't speak to this woman. She's very distinguished.
Yes, she's distinguished, but you guys are trying to be nice!
Who the fuck was... Excuse my language, but who is that?
Bud Dickman.
I don't like being yelled at like that, Dickman.
Just you, it's these other idiots.
Did you call me an idiot?
All right, if somebody doesn't ask a question, I'm going to say goodnight to Ms. Conway and we'll end the show right now.
All right, I got a question. What about Mitt Romney and where do you get off? You know, the campaign didn't like it when you were running your yap about Mitt Romney not qualifying or not being good enough for the conservative base and that he should not be considered for the Secretary of State job. Now, the word today is that Donald Trump went nuts on you. Is that true?
It's true. And here's what happened. I thought, and a lot of people said, oh, we get it. You are voicing displeasure by proxy, meaning Donald Trump is going to pretend not to be happy with you for saying the things you're saying. But in fact, you are saying those things because Donald Trump want you to say those things.
You just listen, bud, okay?
What I'm saying is...
It's all right. We get it.
Okay, so... Well, that's not the case. The case is this. You want the truth. I got a little full of myself after the victory dance. A lot of people were coming up to me and saying, you know what, if it hadn't been for you, Kellyanne, this guy is not president. He's not president-elect. You turned this thing around. You picked up where Manafort dropped it. And Manafort picked it up where that Lewandowski, he dropped it out in the street someplace. Manafort picked it up and dropped it near the curb. I picked it up and ran down the sidewalk and deposited it in Fort Knox. That's what I did, see? I'm sorry, you're going to think I'm egotistical. What was the question?
The question was about Romney. Were you freelancing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I think that it was me that got this guy Trump elected.
You call him this guy Trump. Do you have any respect for him?
I respect him. No, I do. I respect him in my own way. I mean, I respect Ted Cruz a lot, and I respect, you know, Donald Trump is a very, very convincing guy. Fortunately, I was born with, you know, a couple of brain cells still working, so that when I see Donald Trump, I realize that he's his own unique sort of, you know, horseshit artist, and Ted Cruz was full of shit, too, so...
Dude, you're supposed to be a Christian. Why do you talk like that?
Hey, it's called... I'm supposed to tell the truth, aren't I?
You got that right.
So that's why. So I decided, because I had done all these great things for Donald Trump, that I should be allowed to sort of speak my mind. And so I've been getting an awful lot of feedback from people saying, why is he talking to Mitt Romney? So I freelanced. I said, you know, what is this all about? Mitt Romney is a two-bit punk. He was bad-mouthing this guy, Trump. And
while you were doing that, you were thinking, "Hey, I've earned my stripes in this thing."
Well, I thought I had it coming. I mean, I thought I developed the power.
All right, so you thought you had enough power now within the campaign to actually say something critical of Mr. Trump and survive it.
Yeah, that's right. And guess what? I have.
Well, so far.
So far I have. Donald Trump knows who got him elected. Me, Kellyanne Conway. You cannot deny the fact that his campaign was on its way straight into the dumpster of history. And I went in, I held my nose, I climbed in, I picked it up with just the forefinger and the thumb, I took it over to a faucet, and I hosed the thing off. That's what I did for Donald Trump. And about a week or two later, it smelled pretty good, and people wanted to approach it. And then, you know, whatever you perceive it to be, like a small animal or something. Well,
right. So that having been said, I heard that Donald Trump did go ballistic on you.
Yeah, he got angry. He got angry. He said, you know, you're not supposed to go against me like that. I said, Donald, let me tell you. And I told him basically what I told you. I said, I want you to believe that I told him what I told you. Actually, what I did is just sat there and kept my mouth shut. And I thought I was going to get fired because he was really going off on me. You know, four letter words. You name it.
Oh, you're kidding. He really was.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. He called me a two-bit blankety-blank. He said, how dare I go out there and freelance like that? How dare I embarrass him and say that there are people who support him, but they don't support Mitt Romney? And he said that I'm the one that makes the decisions around here, you blank, 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 W-H-O.
Why would you still work for a guy like that?
That was my next question.
Because... the profile on this thing is huge, okay? I'm making a lot of money. I mean, I'm making a lot of money. And then the other day, Dan Quayle shows up, right? Only I, Kellyanne Conway, could turn that thing into a golden, shining moment. I could take that dog turd, that walking ass log, and turn that thing into a gold bar from Fort Knox. Yeah.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? So, thank you. So...
all right, look, enough of the cheerleading here, bud. Let me ask you something, Kellyanne. So I want to get back to this. So Trump was going nuts, calling you every name in the book.
Yeah, he did. And I said to him, and I was a little scared, but then I realized, what's he going to do? Is he going to fire me? If he fires me, he looks like he's got garbage between the ears. Because if he fires me, it looks like he can't take the criticism. If he fires me, it looks like there's rancor in the ranks. If he fires me, it looks like there's a divided base going into to the Trump administration. So he can't. But what he did do is he basically said, don't you ever pull that again.
Will you?
No, I won't, because I know which side of the bread the butter's on.
And you like getting paid.
Damn right I do. I've made a lot of money. I've made a lot of money this year. Cruz paid, Trump pays. I mean, think about it. And I got this guy elected president.
Now, you talk about how you got him elected president. How do you think that's going to go down with him?
Well... I mean, it probably won't go down good, and now that I say it, and now that you ask that question, I feel kind of bad that I've just said that, because now I know I'm going to have to sit there and listen to him screaming again. But, I mean, you want me to be honest? I did. I got him elected president. I'm the guy, or the gal, the chick, I'm the skirt that said, you know, you have to be you, but you've got to stick to the teleprompter on some things. And I fought that war with him, because I told him, and I was honest with him. I said, Mr. Trump, with all due respect, sir, you cannot freelance. You don't know how to ad lib. When you do, disaster lurks. When you start mouthing words that are not written down for you, hell itself reins up on its hind legs, and there's nothing we can do about it. So I said, if you want to be elected president, and more to the point, if you want to be considered a civilized human being that eats with a fork and a spoon and all this, that's why do you think we had the picture taken of him with the chicken?
What picture was that?
Well, you're talking about the Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Yeah.
He had the fork and knife.
Well, that was the one on the airplane.
Yeah. I said, we need a picture of you with a fork and a knife. He said, why? I said, because people think you're an animal. An animal. And he gave me this look, that Trump look, like, you know, he squeezes the lips together. You've seen it, Phil.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, me. I said, look, you go pout on your own time, Jack. Get that fork, get that knife, sit your ass down in that chair. Let's get a picture of Billy Whalen, who's our photographer. I said, get a picture of him so he looks like a human being and not like some pig that loves to roll around in the filth playing in the muck, you know.
We're talking with Kellyanne Conway about her masterful job leading the Trump campaign to victory, and now her freelancing opinions on Mitt Romney on As You Like to Hear Them. So you're telling us right now you're a story of someone who is very forceful, very direct.
Well, I am very direct. I am. But I also know how far I can push him before he turns around and decides that he just doesn't need you anymore. So, like, I knew he was going to fire me after I said what I said about Romney, but if I push it too much...
Well, what about the comments you're making here tonight?
Well, I what are you going to do? I mean, you guys asked me a question, I got to answer the question.
You're saying this guy looked like a pig rolling around in the muck, but you gave him a fork and a knife, huh?
Well, I didn't. I mean, I said, get down to what was the name of the place? What was he eating?
He had Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, I said, get down to that chicken joint. And get one of them plastic knives, and let's get this thing going. And so I sent out Scooter Williams and a couple of the other kids, some of these interns, to go down and get some. And they come back with a couple of these family-sized buckets. And I said, what am I supposed to do with this? They said, well, it's more chicken for the boss. I said, do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? People already perceive him to be not much more than a farm animal when it comes to his manners. Now, yes, he's brilliant. Yes, he's a brilliant businessman.
Well, I want to get to that because he's, let's move on if we can.
I was going to say, I said, everybody thinks the guy is nothing more than a farm animal, and you guys come back with more chicken? I said, what, do I look like I'm in, do I look like a masochist? And they said, no. I said, take that chicken and bury it in the backyard or something, because if he smells it, and he was taking a shower at the time, if he comes out and he smells that, God himself, Jesus off the cross, won't be able to keep him from that chicken. He'll be all over it. And anything between him and that chicken dies. Now, that's the truth.
All right, Kellyanne, Phil wants to get into these cabinet appointments and a lot of other boring stuff. We got the point. You run Donald Trump even though he does intimidate.
Well, that's it.
All right, one more question here. We've seen these cabinet appointments. They run the gamut. They run the gamut from millionaire to billionaire. That's about how much of the gamut they run.
God, no kidding. Billionaire to get a billionaire.
Will you shut up?
That it does.
All right, hold on. So what's your point?
My point is this. He's going to drain the swamp. He's got guys there from Goldman Sachs. He's got guys...
All right, I've heard this criticism, okay? Let me ask you something. What guy... then a billionaire knows better than another billionaire how he thinks.
Okay, here is that thinking.
No, wait. What guy would know better?
Well, look, everyone says that. That's how they get away with nominating guys like this, and it turns out it's an old boys' club.
Well, I mean, look, yes, they're stupid picks. Yes, they're stupid selections, but I'm trying to see this thing from his point of view so he doesn't scream like a banshee when I get off the air with you. But the fact of the matter is, you're right. You're right. Now, the reasoning that I walk into the world with every day is written, it's scrawled on a piece of paper and handed to me by Melania or Ivanka, or whoever the hell it's, it isn't Donald, because he doesn't get out of bed before 10 o'clock in the morning. And they hand it to me. It's on a piece of paper.
You kidding me, man? He doesn't wake up early?
No, he does not, no. He's a nighttime guy. Same with Cruz. Cruz didn't have dinner until 10:30 at night.
I heard that about Cruz. So what do you mean scrawling on a piece of paper?
He writes down what he wants me to say. He says, yeah... tell them the billionaire knows a billionaire. And I said, they're not going to buy it. I said, this looks like a bunch of guys, they're going to be rubbing each other's, excuse my language, asses. You know.
So one hand washing the other.
One hand washing another guy's ass cheek. That's what it is. And
All right. We go. Get the idea. So here you are being honest. And it's probably going to cost you your job.
It probably will cost me my job, but this is as you like to hear them. And I'm giving you the truth. And I'm the one with talent. And I'm the one that has to dig his ass out of a hole every time he opens his yap. Tell me it wasn't true. Did we have to dig him out of that hole with that tape? Yes, we did. Now he's got, you know, whatever he says, whatever he does, wherever he leaves his mess, I got to come along with a Lysol and a sponge.
All right, Kellyanne, so what are the chances you're going to survive all of this?
Survive what?
This interview.
I'll survive this interview. He knows you're full of crap, too, just like everybody else. So I'll survive the interview, but will I survive a Trump presidency? The answer is yes, I will, but that's because I'll have quit well before he gets voted out of office. I'm Kellyanne Conway, and thank you very much.
All right, there's Kellyanne Conway and the Phil Henry Show. We appreciate your being with us.
Well, now, that was one of the most, I think, most direct and one of the most honest interviewees that we've had on this program, and she made a very good point. Does she survive this interview? Yes, she does. She'll have quit before anyone fires her.
She's a smart cookie, but she really loves to step all over it, doesn't she? Well?
I wasn't listening.
I agree with you, General.
No.
World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
Bye, y'all. See you tonight at the Hollywood Improv. Phil Henry and Friends.
Woo-hoo!